In the war on drugs, Ethan Nadelman could be called a leading peacenik. He's executive director of the Drug Policy Alliance, which is funded in part by George Soros. He's been an activist for ballot initiatives to change the drug laws and joins us from New York City. Welcome.
Thank you.
The program. There have been groups clamoring for the decriminalization of marijuana for decades. I'm just curious, have they gained any political traction over the years?
Well, I mean, I would say yes, they have in a number of dimensions. Firstly, public opinion in support of decriminalization of marijuana, you know, now is an area of around 70% who basically say that marijuana possession should not lead to people being sent to jail. And even support for legalization, you know, now is between 30 and 45%, depending upon how you ask the question. So we're seeing it beginning to approach a very substantial minority, almost a majority of public opinion. And then finally, of course, in the medical marijuana area, you have 70 to 80% of Americans saying that marijuana should be legal for medical purposes, and almost every state that has a chance to vote on this says, yes, we agree it should be.
We are approaching a presidential election year. Do any of the potential candidates say anything about changing the drug laws?
Well, the most remarkable one really has been Governor Bill Richardson in New Mexico. He not just signed a bill to legalize marijuana for medical purposes a couple of days ago, he actually stayed home and put a lot of political capital into making sure that this happened. So we now have the first presidential candidate, who will have signed the medical marijuana bill into law. And I think equally significant, yesterday he also signed a bill, a novel bill, to try to reduce heroin overdose fatalities. It's called the Good Samaritan Bill that basically protects people who call the cops or emergency services when a friend has overdosed and says, you know, don't arrest these people if they're calling for help. That's also a path-breaking bill. So somebody like Governor Richardson has actually signed these bills into law. Among all the rest of the candidates, I would say the only one who's really speaking to these issues is not a major candidate. That's Dennis Kucinich.
In drug law enforcement today, how would one quantify, first of all, marijuana as opposed to methamphetamines, cocaine, or heroin when it comes to arrests or people in jail?
Well, that's quite the remarkable thing. There were roughly 1.8 million arrests last year, of which almost 800,000 were for marijuana. So over 45% of all drug arrests in America are for marijuana. And of those, 90% are for simple possession. Where I live in New York City, you know, it's one of the highest in the country. Now, it's kind of odd because, on the other hand, support for decriminalization and even legalization has been growing substantially. So you see these two trends sort of going in opposite directions, growing support for reform at the same time that police, for all sorts of reasons, are arresting more and more people on marijuana charges.
You're drawing a distinction between decriminalization and legalization. Where is the distinction greater than merely a semantic one?
Well, decriminalization usually refers to removing criminal penalties or at least the threat of jail for marijuana possession, basically saying treat it like a traffic ticket or a fine. Legalization generally refers to treating marijuana more or less like alcohol. And that, you know, that means making it available over the counter to people over the age of 18, 19, or 21 or what have you. So we've seen that roughly 70, 75% of Americans say, no, people should not be going to jail for this stuff. We're seeing that between 30 and 45% are saying, you know, treat it like alcohol, tax it, control it, regulate it, and try to educate kids from getting in trouble with it. A lot depends upon how you ask the question. If you say, do you want to legalize with that hard Z at the end, 30% will say yes. If you say, how about make marijuana legal, it jumps to 35%. And if you say, how about treat marijuana like alcohol, tax it, control it, regulate it, and try to keep kids out of trouble with it, you jump to 40 to 43%.
But wouldn't treating marijuana like alcohol mean that people who smuggle or sell marijuana and who might very well traffic in other drugs, too, would be legitimized in a way that a lot of prohibition-era bootleggers became respectable distillers, cabaret owners, and liquor wholesalers?
Well, that's right. I mean, if you look at the repeal of alcohol prohibition, what you see is that people like the Bronfmans or the Kennedys, who had reportedly been involved in bootlegging and such, you know, became legitimate producers. By and large, though, it was the old liquor companies that took it over, the beer companies that reemerged and did it. I think that if marijuana were to be made legal in this country, we'd probably see the alcohol companies, the cigarette companies, the pharmaceutical companies getting involved in it, together with some of the people who are currently involved in it in an illegal way.
Do you find that the off-the-record discourse and discussion of decriminalization of marijuana with people in office or people who are in various law enforcement agencies, is it remarkably different from the on-the-record public discussion of marijuana?
Remarkably different. I can just tell you, Robert, I've sat down with governors. I was spending time around Capitol Hill in the last month or two. It always happens in state legislatures, and it even happens in people you least expect it in the very traditional drug treatment world or in the law enforcement world. And they'll say to me, look, of course I agree with you on marijuana. I just can't say it right now. Part of my job in running the Drug Policy Alliance and some of my colleagues is in trying to give people a sense of safety or comfort in actually speaking out about this.
Well, Ethan Nadelman, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you very much.
Ethan Nadelman, Executive Director of the Drug Policy Alliance, spoke to us from New York City.